San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from KFMB with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for It's Your Money and Your Life, you can get us, you can hear us on your smartphone, and we stream live on 760 KFMB, and you can hear all these podcasts commercial-free on iymoney.com. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplishment marathon runner. He's an accomplished best-selling author and a family office expert advising several high-net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm marvelous, Joe. I got a sunburn in San Diego in November. And it sounds like you're suffering from 17% humidity.
I hate to complain about the weather. It's so beautiful, but my God, I know a lot of people with colds and sinus and allergy, and including myself. So
it's so dry.
I was trying to avoid taking an antihistamine, but I took a half of one earlier this afternoon. So if I sound a little groggy or whatever, green tea and antihistamine is my. I'm trying to link East and West medicine, I guess. I don't know, anyway, a lot of cool things to talk about. Maybe we should start with Art San Diego first. You know, we were there Thursday night.
Thursday night was the VIP grand opening. I don't know how I got in because it was only for VIPs, but I snuck in.
Oh, come on. UBS gets us in.
I know. Our major sponsor, UBS, of course, is the major sponsor of Art San Diego.
So we should thank Mike.
Fifth year. So yes. Michael Quaranta, thank you very much.
And then Brooke Toll, of course, who was our guest. She runs the whole show.
Right. And I guess it runs tomorrow. Sunday's the last day from 11 to 5. I'll be back later in the afternoon.
Yeah, tomorrow, noon to 3, is a program for kids. It's so-called Arts, and they're going to do these pop-up pocket parks. And anyway, if you want to bring your kids down there. But it goes all the way to 5, right? Tomorrow's the last day.
Yeah, it starts at 11, goes to 5. The kids' program's from 12 to 3. My good friend Francesca Filanc is going to be exhibiting there again, and along with many, many others, about, I think, 60 exhibitors or so.
And you know who I bumped into Thursday night?
Who's that?
One of our former guests, the guy who designed that building.
Oh, I saw Rob there, but yeah. I didn't get to say hi.
Yeah, Rob Quigley. He's probably one of the best-known architects in town. Did our central library, the new library, of course. So if you haven't heard of him by now, you're probably living under a rock. But in any case, it was cool seeing him there. That's his building. And the building is just north of the old Balboa Naval Hospital, if you know where that is.
So. Yeah, east part of Balboa Park, right off of Park Boulevard.
Yes, sir. And I went to a pretty cool thing last night. I was invited, actually, by another former guest, Bill Lanowet, who told me about this documentary they were going to be screening at the Sherwood Auditorium in La Jolla about Jonas Salk and the whole polio vaccine development. And it was called A Shot to Save the World. And it was produced by the Smithsonian Channel. And boy, was that cool. I thought, gee, they might not get that big a crowd on a Friday at 6. I want to tell you, the place was packed, wall to wall. And I wanted to thank also Gary Robbins, who's the UT writer for science and defense.
A great article in the Union a couple of weeks ago by Gary about Jonas Salk and the Salk Institute.
So anyway, this year would have been the 100th birthday of Jonas Salk. And also, it's about the 60th anniversary of the actual vaccine itself. The timing is kind of interesting because in the film, you see that in the early 1954 is when they finally approved the vaccine to go out to the general population. And of course, I didn't come into the world until the end of 54. So good timing on my part, I guess. I don't know if I had much to do with it, but
well, I remember getting the vaccine when I was a kid. It was such a big deal.
Hey, in this movie, you know, you don't realize how many children suffer, but they actually showed dozens of kids in the iron lungs, in the wheelchairs with the braces. I mean, it was just very, very sad. And but obviously with a good ending. And of course, to get that institute, you know, he did all the research in Pittsburgh, and he was, you know, affiliated with the University of Pittsburgh. And they actually were thinking of putting the Salk Institute in Pittsburgh. But Leo Szilard and some other people who had lived out here in La Jolla said, no, you have to put it out. Of course, you were there a few weeks ago, right, Richard, with that dinner?
Yeah, Robert Redford was there and showed the Cathedrals of Culture, the piece that he did about the Salk Institute, about how that building promotes, shall we say, discovery.
Yeah. Well, Jonas Salk, they actually...
It was really neat. Al Gore showed up, too, which was really neat.
Yeah. Well, in the film, they had Jonas Salk getting this award in 1955 from President Eisenhower at the White House. And what an international celebrity this guy became. Because, you know, he gave the vaccine away. He didn't charge anything for
it. Right. He never... I don't know what the word would be, patented.
Yeah.
He said it belongs to the world.
He said, the sun is free. You can't patent the sun, and you can't patent my vaccine. Although, you know, today I wonder if that same thing would have happened. But anyway, it made him famous. And some of the stories, his son was there, by the way, Dr. Peter Salk. He was on the panel afterward. They had a little Q&A. And they're telling stories about all these celebrities that just show up and want to know, you know, where he worked. They talked about Brad Pitt showing up one day at the Salk Institute, and the gal at the front desk just about fainted. And he goes, I just want to see where Jonas Salk worked. Can someone show me? I mean, is that interesting story?
It's a neat place.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks to Gary and Bill for arranging all that. And then congrats to another former guest, Congressman Scott Peters.
He was not that former. It was last Saturday night. It looks like he might win again.
Well, they had another release of more votes today, and he expanded his lead. So he's between 2 and 3% ahead right now. So we'll see Monday night how it all shakes out. But he's looking pretty strong at this particular point, wouldn't you say?
Every 2 years, he's got to sit around and wait while they count. So he's used to it.
I tell you, there's something to be said to be in a safe district. Like the other four Congress members here, I mean, they're all going to win handily.
Yeah, it was easy. I mean,
the one
last
one. Yeah, so I don't know if he's not in a safe district. Apparently, the registration is closed, but maybe more of them should be that way so we maybe get a better
mix. Yeah, competition is good.
Yes, I would say. So it's like running,
competition's good.
It's like running a race. You know, speaking of running races, Mary, tell us about your wife. I think she just got another award.
Well, we should talk about Larry Hummel first because I want to lead into running with Mary's story.
Well, we should talk about Larry. Now, have you ever met Larry? I remember.
I met Larry way, way, way back when.
Yeah.
Back when he was at Bud Freeman's Improv. And
well, no, he was at the Comedy Store.
I mean, at the Comedy Store.
Bud
was a guest on our show, so I've got him on my brain.
But I used to see Larry at the Comedy Store the time, doing his. He had some very interesting bits talking about the spice rack in Pacific Beach. If you've been around that long,
but he's from your old hometown of Chicago.
Well, he's from I think he went to school in Peoria, Bradley, or something like that. I would like to know how he made that quantum leap then from that part of Illinois to San Diego. You know, who convinced him or told him about San Diego? Because San Diego was pretty much a hidden secret back then in the 70s, I would say.
Yeah, he was here at KFMB. For those of you who don't know, he passed away from cancer earlier this week. Mm-hmm. He was 68.
Brain cancer.
They said that might not be accurate.
Oh, really? Okay.
And survived by his wife, Joan, and of course they had one son, Miles.
Who works here in the mornings.
He works here in the mornings, correct.
He's a producer for us, and actually Eric, our soundboard.
So 35 years here at the station, so big, big loss.
Well, that's the tribute. I mean, because, you know, I've known a few people working in newsrooms, you know, around the country, and typically your career, you'll start out in a market, and a few years later you'll want to move on, try to get to a bigger market, or... change position somehow or move up to the anchor, whatever. Larry spent his entire radio and TV career here in San Diego, primarily at one station, which is such a unique trait that, you know, it just doesn't happen. There may be a few others in the country that do that, but typically it's very, very rare. So that
and,
just.
And he was versatile. He did sports, he did weather, and then, of course, San Diego at large.
Yeah.
Which is.
I remember that half hour show.
Yeah. Very irreverent in some cases, very serious in others. You know, he won an Emmy, I think, about 5 years ago, and he was covering the fire because they lost their home.
That was, I think, an incredible thing.
That was really an amazing piece of reporting.
Here's a guy with the goggles on, with the fires blazing behind him, and his home burning to the ground, and I can't even imagine. How could you even get through that report? But he did. He was a strong person. But, you know, you've heard it over and over again. What you see is what you get. I mean, if you bumped into Larry in the hallway, he's the same. He had that Cheshire cat grin for you, you know, and just always happy to meet people, and it just translated on screen. So as simple as that. So
anyway, our condolences to the Hummel family. He's going to certainly be missed.
Yes. Anyway, now shall we talk about...
Now let's talk about awards. Okay, wait. Our radio show, of course, again, just because, you know, we were really rushing last week. We won two... And then I'll talk about Mary's award.
Well, we won five total.
But two first-place San Diego Press Club Awards, including Best Radio Series in San Diego for the second year in a row.
Which is the most important one,
Is the most important one, because that's the big one. Mm-hmm. And then we added three second place awards too, for a total of 5 awards,
mm-hmm.
making it in 2 years 5 first place awards and 3 second place awards.
Right, and of course, Courtney. This is the first year we put in for the website.
Yep, design. And we got a second place there with Courtney Lauver and PopX Graphic.
Right, but I've got to talk to Courtney because there's more than one website category. So I'm going to have to talk with her and see if she.
We've got to make sure we put it in the right place.
Yeah,
I think we won the one for blogging, which we have some good blogs.
Yeah, topic based blogging, but the content's good. Then we have all the guests now alphabetized on one of the tabs. So if you want to go back and find Erwin Jacobs or George Takei or Don Rickles or anybody, I mean, you can go around and Malin Burnham. I mean, we've got quite a list.
Jim Billie Lampley, Jean King, Billie. Sherry Harrison.
Not to mention all
the who's who of the world.
Yeah, not to mention, and of course, all of our guests are interesting and good and professionals, and you're going to learn something you hadn't learned before if you tune in or check those out. So I just went back and listened to a few of the older shows, and you know what? I enjoy them, so.
I just don't know if winning 3 first is better than winning 2 first and 3 seconds or vice versa.
Well, I wouldn't count.
But it's all good.
I wouldn't count the website. So
it's all good.
Because the radio per se, so 2 blue, 2 red, whatever.
Yeah, Courtney gets all the credit for the website.
So,
but speaking of awards, we're going to talk about running tonight.
Yes.
Because of my Oceanside Turkey Trot. But my wife, Mary, last Sunday ran at the huge Komen event. We had some friends there.
Susan G.
Komen. I know Marty Emerald was there and mm-hmm. Barbara Lee Edwards. But Mary won a third place medal. She came in third, so she got a medal in her age group. I will not disclose her age group, but yes, she's younger than me. And she got a third place medal in her age group, and she had to run up. That finish is about 6/10 of a mile up that brutal Quince Street hill. And she picked up a third in her age group.
So that was a 5K, 10K?
That's a 5K.
Okay.
So congratulations, Mary.
Where was it? And this is a downtown course?
It starts in the park, and then it basically runs through Balboa Park over to Park, and then it ramps down to the 163. So you go downhill to the 163, and then you climb back up the Quince Street off-ramp.
Gotcha.
All the way back up to where you started, and it's like climbing stairs for the last 6/10 of a mile or so.
Huh.
So speaking of awards, Mary picked up a third-place medal.
That's
which is
great.
A big deal because there were, there's tons of runners out.
How many people in that thing? There's a thousands.
Oh, it was like over 10,000.
Yeah,
it was huge.
They're still doing great work. All the free mammograms and all that. And,
oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah,
that's a big
and
deal.
And their 3-day walk is coming up. I think in about 1 week, if memory serves. Susan G. Komen. So they do great work. You know, we had Laura Farmer Sherman on the show about a year ago.
Yeah, I saw her on TV and everything. So
and we'd like to have her on again next year because we haven't talked to her in over a year. So mm-hmm. I think we'll do that.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about running on this show.
Well, let's see.
We should probably take a break.
We'll take a break right now, Eric.
Take a break.
Well, let's have some music. Then we have two guests
tonight.
Put on
some running music, Eric.
That's right. This is good. This will lead into the running music. But anyway, we'll come right back with It's Your Money and Your Life right after this. Hang on. All right. There's some running music, all right. That's some galloping music. Cantering or whatever. Anyway, Rich, we got some really great guests in here tonight, and of course you know them both well.
We're off and running.
You know, anyway, this is an encore appearance for one of our guests here. She has been running. She's been in sports and athletics and women's sports, gosh, for years, going back to UCSB and 19 track and cross country and all these other great things. And then of course she's developed her own. Her own running entity herself, her enterprise. You could say, it's just a fantastic operation she has going. But anyway, she's the president of Kanane Events, and guess what? Her name is Kathy Kanane. How you doing, Kathy? Good evening. How are you?
Welcome back.
Good to see you guys tonight. Thanks for inviting us.
So you're a little bit busy right now?
A little bit.
Why?
Well, we're expecting 10,000 people to come. Spend Thanksgiving with us down in Oceanside.
Well, no, we're expecting 15,000 people, 10,000 runners, because about half the runners bring somebody who just hangs out at the finish line. Expo.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But we got plenty of time to talk about the Oceanside Turkey Trot, Richard. But what is the website so if they want to look right now? It's Oceanside.
OsideTurkeyTrot.com.
Yeah, not Oceanside, but Oside.
OsideTurkeyTrot.com if you want to take a look at that.
Sign up.
But anyway, Kathy's got a pretty rich history with running and sports. But you want to put some more detail on what I discussed at the top there? Talk about your history because it's pretty impressive.
You tried out for the Olympics too.
I did. Yeah. Well, when I was a teenager, like where you talked a little bit about the depression stuff.
Uh-huh.
I was having some challenges at home, and I found a lot of peace in running.
Ah.
And lucky for me, they started a Title IX came on board in 1972, and they started a women's cross-country team.
And you were at what school at that point?
At West Torrance High School.
Which is where?
In Torrance, up in the South Bay area.
Okay.
And the first race I ran was a freshman boys cross-country race.
Huh.
And
you were the only girl doing it?
The only girl in the race.
And I know what shoes you were wearing.
SL72. Oh, no, my Billie Jean King.
Yeah, she was wearing one of our prior guests. She was wearing her blue suede Billie Jean King tennis shoes, the one that Billie Jean wore at the Battle of the Sexes in the Houston Astrodome.
Well, that was, now you were
not
running,
the ones Billie Jean wore, but, you know, the same brand.
But that was 72. She didn't have the match till 73, so those shoes were already on the market or
so
something?
So I didn't. Yeah. I ran in 74.
Oh, 74.
Yeah.
And but I had those Billie Jean Kings. They were going to make me Wonder Woman, you know?
So, so what inspired you to get into running? A friend?
No, that was just, oh, actually, I was playing soccer at the time, and this girlfriend came up to me and said, you know, Kinane, you should run cross country because you run faster than all those people when you're running on the field. And that was kind of how it happened. And
but see, girls weren't even playing that much soccer back then, were they?
Well, I was really fortunate. I went to West Torrance High School, mm-hmm. and Peter Fredrickson and Hans Sterley, who co-founded AYSO, and their offices were in Hawthorne, they started that
in my town. American Youth
Soccer Association. And so our high school had two women's soccer team, and they were outstanding. We had the opportunity to play soccer in Europe in 1975 and went undefeated. So I never realized we were discriminated against until I actually got to college, and they didn't have a women's cross-country or track team. Huh. It was a club sport.
So you're lucky, you're just fortunate that you were where you were, because if you were in Minnesota or North Dakota or some other place, it probably never would have happened, right?
Correct.
So
yeah, our high school athletic director was very open-minded about having girls play sports, and it was wonderful.
See, luck is a big factor in life, too, mm-hmm. I think. But obviously, they say it's an extension of your ability. But, you know, obviously, if that whole chapter had not been open to you, you wouldn't have had...
Lots of changes in the early to mid-70s, Joe. Well, Thank goodness.
Yeah, well, obviously, it was a life-changing moment for you, Kathy, because you just pursued sports personally and professionally your whole life after that, right? It became your life.
Well, yeah, actually, when I went to college, the reason I went to UCSB was to play soccer, because my girlfriend, who became the first woman to get a license in the United States, a coaching license. She called me up and said, "Hey, Kinane, you want to come up here and play soccer?" And I was MVP of the team, was 33-1 my senior year at West Torrance. And I said, "Sure, I'll come up." And I applied to the UC, and I'd gotten into three other UCs, but not UCSB. So I went to the locker room, and they had the records up on the wall, and I ran faster than everybody that ran further than a quarter mile. So I knocked on the coach's door, and I said, "I'm supposed to come up here and play soccer, but I'll run track if you get me in." And I got a $250 scholarship that year. Woo! It took me five years to get a full ride.
That's a big deal, though, back then.
It was big.
Know. Yes, absolutely. So, wow. And tell us about the Olympics. What happened there?
So I got the head coaching job at UCSB in 81. And just when I went to the Nationals, I was there was only three women in the room. And I thought, well, for a career, I don't know how I felt about that. And so I left to get my master's degree so that if I wanted to go back to a UC, I'd at least have a master's degree and I could get
it. And your degree's in exercise, physiology?
Yeah, exercise physiology. So okay. I have a master's in that. And the Olympic trial standard came out at 252.
And for a marathon.
For a marathon. Yeah. And I had tried running one marathon on kind of a bet with a friend at a Christmas party, and I had run 254. And I walked the last 6 miles, and I thought, well, gosh, I just won't have to walk the last 6 miles, and I should be able to qualify. Well, it was obviously much harder than that, but mm-hmm. we were fortunate at Long Beach, my girlfriend and I. She got first, and I got third, and I ran 249.58. And it was a phenomenal experience to go to the first Women's Olympic Trials. I'm just in awe of so many of the
women
that are
there. Where were they held that year? Olympia, Washington. Wow.
And that was when Joan Benoit won. Mm. And she had surgery, I think it was 26 days before, 17 days, and she won, and I was just in awe.
Did you make the team or just miss? You just missed the team?
Just missed.
Oh, gosh.
By a
few seconds.
195 or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
But, Joe, we have two fast women in the studio tonight.
Well, we do. We're going to get to the other fast
women. We should at least also mention that we have Ann Garrett with us.
Well, Ann Garrett. Now, Why do we bring Erin tonight? She's 80 years young, by the way. She walked in the door.
She ran in the door. Yeah. Ran through the door. Sprinted through.
This lady does not look 80. We're getting your diet and everything, Anne, tonight. But anyway, you've achieved some records yourself. So, Wendy, welcome to the show, Anne. We should say.
Thank you.
Carlsbad resident also, or
Oceanside. Yes.
So. Well, tell us about your records. I mean, this is amazing. You just took up running 8 years ago, right?
I did. My daughter started running, and she thought that it would be nice if I was to walk in a race. Uh-huh. I was a walker. Uh-huh. If I would walk in a race that she ran in. And so she signed me up for the Carlsbad 5000. And as soon as I started, I got hooked.
Well, you get swept up with the people, right?
Oh, I found I was very competitive, and I loved it. And so I wanted to keep going from there. And so then after that, I did a half marathon, and I was wanting to do a marathon, but I didn't think I could. I drove a marathon, and it seemed an awfully long way, and I didn't think
it is a long way.
It's a long drive.
I couldn't walk. But she said, my daughter again said, well, if you will join up with a group, I'll do the running, and I'll go in the running section, you go in the walking section. And I did, and I met a young lady who was an assistant coach, and she was a proper race walker, you know, the heel toe mm-hmm. walking. Mm-hmm. And she actually lived not too far from me, so she said she would, you know, I could walk with her in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And so I trained as a race walker, and I did my one and only marathon just before my 65th birthday.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Well, I decided I'm getting older, and if I keep on all this exercise, all this training for the marathons, and I do too many marathons, I'm not going to last too long. So I decided that I would stop and do something
shorter.
Well, you
know what? Let's leave the suspense there. And if everyone wants to know what happened to Anne and her records, you're going to have to hang on. We're coming right back after new sports and weather. Stay tuned. All right. We all know what that is. That's Born to Run.
We are born to run here.
At least three people in the studio are born to run. We know one in particular. But anyway, welcome back to the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. Over to Richard to thank our great sponsors.
Couldn't do it without our great sponsors. UBS, Michael Caronta, Drew Fetus, of course, not only sponsor of our award-winning radio show, but also of Art San Diego. Right across the street, downtown La Jolla on Prospect Street from UBS is Regions Bank, the best business bank in San Diego with Mr. Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton. I do believe Sean Puckett is going to be a guest here
soon.
Next Saturday, I think so.
Following, I think. Nick Hanauer.
One of the two. Okay. That's right. Signature Analytics, Jason Kruger, the best CFO company here in San Diego, helping business owners who need CFO services. Our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic CPAs and Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. The Law Office of Brenda Geiger, Geiger Law Offices, helping people with both estate planning as well as asset protection in between writing many books. That's what Brenda does. Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, the best business valuation firm in the country, helping both business owners understand the risks that drive the values of their businesses and how to reduce the risk and increase the value of their business. I can't forget PopX Graphics and Courtney Lauber. Courtney, yes, we're meeting tomorrow at 9, not today at 9. I know you showed up this morning, but it was not Sunday. And last but not least, Servant Leadership Institute. Got a big event coming up, their fifth annual conference on March 9th and 10th at the lovely Coronado Marriott, where the Big Three is going to appear on the same stage for the first time ever. That's John Maxwell, Stephen M. R. Covey, and Ken Blanchard all at once on the same stage. ServantLeadershipInstitute.com. Joe, we've got some amazing sponsors and an amazing website. How do those two go together?
Well, you can find out information about all of our sponsors and everyone Richard mentioned right there. If you get onto iymoney.com and there's a menu across the top of the page, there's a drop-down menu. Just put your cursor on sponsors and all of them will drop down right before your eyes and you can click on any one or all of them and get their contact information, their biographical information, and anything else you need to know. And there you have it. So anyway, we have in studio, we want to continue with the president of Kinane Events, Kathy Kinane, and also world record holder, Anne Garrett. So, Anne, tell us about
the records.
The records.
Because you're young and
fast. Can I make one correction?
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay, national record.
National record.
Well,
yes.
It's good. I think it's global.
Yeah, the U.S. is a fairly big country, though.
I'm still trying for the world one.
Okay. Oh, there's actually, they do have world competition in these ages. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I think so.
Okay.
They must.
Well, I bet you're pretty darn close to the world record anyway.
I'll try.
So tell us about your record in the 5K as well as your record in the half marathon.
I was running in the Carlsbad 5000 and in 2011. And at the finish, this man came up to me and he said, you have just broke the national record for your age division. And I was so surprised.
This was 72, right? This is age.
I was 75 to 79.
Okay, 75, 79.
This was 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I was very surprised. And so I had run a better time the year before, but there was no one there taking records. But anyway, so I broke the American record.
25 minutes and 59 seconds. That's about an 8:20 pace, if I'm doing the math in my head, right?
For 5K, yeah. And that's 3.1 miles approximately, right?
Yes, okay. It is. Okay. It's the 0.1 that counts.
Yeah.
But that wasn't far enough for you, so you decided to add about 10 miles.
Well, yes. I thought I would do Kathy's race up in Huntington Beach.
Surf City.
And anyway, after I had won the national record of the 5K, I met Kathy one morning on Carlsbad Boulevard, and she said, I know who you are. And she asked me if I would be spokesperson for the Move Your Feet Before You Eat Foundation,
mm-hmm.
Which I said, yes, please, that would be great. So I got to know Kathy quite well, and I did the Surf City half marathon and the following year. And I did a 208, and I broke the American record,
which is under a 10-minute pace for those of you who.
So this is a full marathon, right?
No, a half.
Or half. Okay.
I only did
13.1.
Yeah. 13. Okay.
Yeah, I only did the one full one because I thought if I would keep on running that much, I would wear myself down too quickly, and I was getting old, so yeah. I decided to do halves instead, and I like the half marathon.
Now, you've got an accent that I don't think we've had on the show before. Ireland, correct?
That's right.
When did you come to this country?
In 1968, my husband was a senior engineer on the Queen Mary and sailed her to Long Beach.
Oh.
And we were living in Southampton, England at that time with our two daughters. And
that's where the Titanic sailed out of, right?
Right. And actually, my husband and I both worked in Harland and Wolff in Belfast, where they built the Titanic.
Huh.
But we didn't talk about that too much. But anyway, I came out then the year following. Mm-hmm. The Mary came here in December of 67, and I came out in February of 68 with our two daughters.
Wow.
And when did you take up race walking? Did you do that your whole life, or was that later
in
life as well?
No, I just walked a lot because I grew up in a little village in Ireland, and we had to walk everywhere because nobody had a car. And we walked to school, we walked to... The only time you ran was when you were running for a bus or something like that. But I walked all my life, and I was still working. I had a weight problem when I was younger. In mm-hmm. fact, when I met my husband, I weighed 140 pounds, and he said, told everybody he could see the potential underneath.
140 by today's standards still isn't that bad. So let me ask about Ireland today. Is it like that today where people still walk, or has it changed a lot?
Actually, I talked to I have two sisters there, and I talked to one of them this afternoon, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And and I also talked to my niece, mm-hmm. and she said that more and more people are walking and running over there now. Yeah, they're more.
Well, I remember reading about Ireland years ago. You know, they eat butter. They eat a lot of things that they say we're not supposed to eat. But because of all the walking and physical activity, they don't seem to have the obesity issues that we're having as a country. So,
well, they didn't. But then everyone started getting cars, and they started driving everywhere, and so there was an obesity problem because they were still eating the same types of food.
Yeah,
but I think they're more conscious of it.
Yeah. All right, so I've got a very personal question. Are you faster than your daughter, or is she faster than
oh,
you?
Oh, no, she's much faster
how fast
than me.
I'm just curious, how fast is she?
But tell us about the Move Your Feet Before You Eat, Friday. What do you do
yes,
for them?
I love that. Because
that's Richard's organization.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, Richard and Kathy are the co-founders.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That has just opened up a whole new way of life for me. It truly has. Because I go to the schools, and I talk to the children.
The school's up in Oceanside.
Grade school, high school, all of them?
Elementary. I've been to high school, high school and middle school. Mm-hmm. The little ones, though, are the cutest. Mm. And they all call me Grandma. And so I'm Grandma Anne. And if they see me outside, they'll shout, "Hi, Grandma."
So your whole mission to...
What do you talk to them about?
I tell them about running and how good it is for you and exercise. And I run with them. Mm-hmm. Some of them have little tracks and some of them... They just run in the fields, and I go out there and I run with them.
So this is like first, second, third, fourth grade all
yeah. In fact, I was at a school this past week, and it was kindergarten, first and second
Isn't
grades.
That great?
Yeah. And they're just – and they go early. They have a mileage club.
Huh.
And the kids go to school at about 7 or 7:15 in the morning.
Wow.
And parents go with them, and they do laps. And they do miles.
I don't ever remember going to school that quite that early. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. And it's fun. It's so much fun. It really is. I love it.
That is great.
Yeah.
So you work in concert with any of the other gym instructors or anything like that? Or, I mean, the whole goal is to get these kids out moving around.
Move your feet before you eat.
Move your feet before you eat.
Okay.
And I go to the boys and girls clubs in the afternoon after, you know, these after school programs. And I run with them as well and talk to them. And they, a lot of the children take part in the turkey trot.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them how great it is to run with your family. Because I did a half marathon last year in Northern California with my 17-year-old grandson, who is 6'3". And he and I were quite funny looking together. But he loved it. And I was so proud to be running
with my
grandson.
Isn't that great? Generational.
Yeah. He was able to keep up with you?
Yes, he did, actually.
Well, does he play football or anything? I mean, is he really big?
He's not very fast.
Okay.
But he's a good runner.
That's good.
Well,
the benefits of running, it's not just physical health. It's mental health. It's a lot of things.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. We'll take a break right now, Eric. We'll come right back with more Vits Your Money and Your Life and Your Running right after this. Hang on. All right, we are back with President Kathy Kinane of Kinane Events and Ann Garrett, 80-year-old record holder, holds a national record for the 5K and the half marathon in her age group, which is pretty terrific. But let's talk a little bit about the mental benefits of running, and then we're going to get right into the Oceanside Turkey Trot. So you lost your husband and...
Yeah. My husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and his sister had it, and so we knew what it was going to be like. So we decided to make the best of it. It was all we could do. And so he liked to walk. So we would walk just about every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had taken up running by this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was quicker for me to run and get back to the house again.
Mm.
And then it got that I couldn't leave him, but I was still able to run. And that was wonderful. I mean, just getting out, and it made me so much more patient. It made me just able to cope with everything.
Right.
And then when he died, I just... would put on, when I felt really sad, I would put on my shoes and I'd go out and I'd run, and I'd feel so much better when I came back.
There you go.
And rather than sit and feel sorry for myself, I found that there were other things to do. And that's when I met Kathy, and she opened up this whole new way of my life
great?
For me with the children and so on.
And interestingly, when your husband did have Alzheimer's, he was still able to do ballroom dancing, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was a very good ball. He was better. He made me look good. We would go to the senior centers, and he couldn't remember anything by that time, but I would lead him out onto the floor, and as soon as the music started, he would start dancing, and he knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah, he did.
Well, your health is your wealth, and you're a living tribute to that. And absolutely. Maybe you should talk to some seniors as well as
I would
students,
like to. I have done that.
So many people deal with loss, and you know, they do destructive behaviors rather than constructive or positive behaviors. So we all need to do that. We've all been in there. So
that is for sure. But ladies, we will all be in downtown Oceanside Thanksgiving morning. Joe, are you going to come this year? I mean, come on.
All right.
You
got to
get out.
Move your feet before you eat.
But it's 7 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning. I'm going to run the 5-mile race for Sirius. Then at about 8:20, 8:25, I'm going to run the 5K wearing about a 9-pound turkey costume. And you're all going to be out too. Kathy, you can't run though because you run the show. But Ann, you can run.
I'm going to run with my family.
And a lot of military show up and volunteer and run it, right?
Absolutely. But Kathy, tell us a little bit more about the event.
So the Pacific Marine Credit Union Oceanside Turkey Trot is Thanksgiving morning, obviously, in downtown Oceanside. And we're expecting, 10,000 runners and at least 5,000 or 10,000 friends and families. The good news is most of the people carpool, so we have very little problems with parking. 2,000 people take the Sprinter. We have a 5-mile run, a 5K run walk, and then we have lots of kids' races.
The big treat there.
Yeah, 1-milers as well as quarter mile for the little guys and girls.
Yes.
So what age groups are these kids? I mean, they're old enough to put on sneakers.
We've had 3-year-olds.
Yeah, we have 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds that run. They just love it.
Uh-huh. Although sometimes they get to the finish line tape and they're afraid to run through it. They stop right there. It's hilarious.
Yeah, they get a little confused.
And of course, the guy in the turkey outfit probably scares the heck
out of
them.
Yeah, I'm holding it, so that makes them run in the other direction.
Yeah. It's a great day for the family. There's no doubt.
Well, Scott Tempesta, who used to be a co-host of Stacey Taylor's, a friend of mine, and he's recently gotten into the fitness kick, and he's going to run it with his two sons, which I think is kind of, he's putting it all over Facebook, and, you know, that's really nice to see.
But it's really, really, we've got some great sponsors, of course, Pacific Marine Credit Union, also Genentech. But the other neat thing is $5 of every runner's entry fee gets to go to the charity of the choice. Kathy, about how many charities do we have on our platform now?
Last year I wrote 94 checks.
Okay.
Wow.
And our biggest running team that benefits a charity, it's huge, right?
Yeah, the Austin Bice family, they have a scholarship fund.
The Austin Bice Foundation.
The foundation. Yeah. And they bring over 500 friends and family to run in memory of Austin. And the cool thing is it funds a scholarship program. So the money they get from the trot gets matched by Viasat. And then any young adult who wants to apply for that scholarship to go to San Diego State is eligible. So our top fundraising entities are Austin Bice is number one, and then we have number two is I think the Oceanside Boys and Girls Club and a Semper Fi Fund.
Yeah, Semper Fi up at Camp Pendleton at the Marine Base is usually a large beneficiary.
Yes, and we have the schools get about 15,000, and this year because of Ann's efforts of going to the school, it looks like they're going to get even more.
Wow.
And we're excited. Our criteria for being a nonprofit is nonprofits that serve residents of Oceanside, because we just feel like you need to be a part of solving the problem in your own community, and it's been fantastic.
And then part of this effort helps to get good foods into the schools too. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? Isn't that part of it, Richard?
Yeah, we've got, well, how many schools have added vegetable gardens in our 9 years, do you think?
I think most of them have
most
them,
of them
now.
Have now.
And it's really exciting. They have a new director of their food service, and she's getting awards for the foods that she's providing to the kids. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, I think the first school assembly we ever did back around 2005, of all the ironies, I believe they brought brownies and Coca-Cola out for the kids while we were...
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
It was really scary.
It's like, wait a minute here.
That's what they were eating for breakfast. Right. I'm like, really? How about some fruits and vegetables?
Oh, and by the way, we have a costume contest, too, and it's amazing to see some of the costumes. Yeah.
Now, and you go into the schools. Have they gotten a lot of the soft drinks out now, or are they working on that? Or
I don't know exactly what they I do know that they are very much now into growing their own vegetables and that. And I try to talk with the kids about how good it is to eat healthy and to stay healthy, and then they can grow to be as old as I am.
Yeah. And then some.
And as fast as you are.
Well, you're just getting warmed up here, Ann. I can tell because... I mean, what's your diet like? Because, I mean, my gosh, you do not look 80 years old. I mean,
well, thank you. So thank you very much.
You must eat pretty. You must watch what you eat, right?
And actually, not all my life I didn't, but I'm a pretty healthy eater now. I eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, and and not very much meat, but I mm-hmm. eat a lot of fish and of salmon and things like that. So mm-hmm. I try to eat things that are good for me, and I eat in moderation.
Mm.
I don't deprive myself of anything. If I want a piece of chocolate, I'll take it, but I don't eat a whole box full.
They say you should wait 20 minutes, even for kids, wait 20 minutes before your second helping, because it takes a little while to get the satiation feeling and you know, to work through your intestines. It's Dr. Lustig. We should do a show.
Yeah, he would be great.
There's a movie.
But Joe, we should mention, we have a couple of beautiful courses. The 5 Mile, we start at the Civic Center in downtown Oceanside and finish down at the pier by the amphitheater. But the 5 Mile heads over to the harbor and back. And of course, it's Thanksgiving morning, so there's no cars parked on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Finish down at the sand, absolutely gorgeous. And then at around 8:20 when we do the 5K, again from Civic Center down to the amphitheater down at the pier on the strand, but we don't do the harbor part because it's a shorter course. And then the kids, of course, are basically just down on the strand for the 1 miler and the quarter miler. So it's an absolutely gorgeous course because you literally finish on the strand at the beach, at the pier. And it's just incredible with the ocean, the pier, the weather. And for people who want to set a personal record, both courses are a little bit downhill, right, Kathy?
There I call them teeter courses. But yes, you'll get a good time on that course. Yeah. This year, we're one of our goals is to get fire dancers out on the course.
Okay.
The Samoan community in Oceanside has kind of gathered themselves together to help us provide some unique entertainment on the course. And it's one thing when I send these photos to Runner's World of the guys running in shorts with no shirt on Thanksgiving morning, but I think shorts with no shirt and fire dancers should really get some attention.
Yeah, no question. No question. But again, the website is osideturkeytrot.com. Form a team. Pull your friends together, your neighbors, your church, your business. Become one of the teams. I know a lot of our teams get really cool prizes too, right?
They do. They get gift certificates to one of the great Cohen Restaurant Group restaurants, 333 Pacific. They've been partners with us since the very beginning. We're very proud of that relationship.
Mm.
And Genentech has supported the medals since the second year. They've been great partners with us.
Tri-City Medical Center, right?
Are they just added them.
They're new this year. Their team is growing. Today was a big flurry of members of the Tri-City Hospital Foundation group, and they're also one of our beneficiaries. We're proud to have them as partners this year.
You've got Home Life Village Realtors in there, I see, on their website. Mm.
That would be Gary.
Yeah.
Kathy's significant other.
Okay.
They've supported us for
a long
9 years. 9 years running.
So, Ann Garrett, any predictions about your time? I'm just curious.
I'm going to do my best.
There you go. The neat thing about running is you're not competing against others. You're only competing against your own potential.
So, osideturkeytrot.com. What time is the first race?
Rick? 7 o'clock for the 5 mile.
Okay. So, 5 mile, 5K.
It's 8:20 for the 5K.
Combo run.
Right. The important thing is we run the 5 miles the 5K in waves of 500 with 2 minutes in between.
Exactly.
So, everybody gets a chance to run fast.
Anyway, we have to wrap it up.
So, we'll see
right
you out there Thanksgiving morning,
absolutely.
Everybody. Ann, thanks so much, Kathy.
Thank you, Ann Garrett.
Thank you.
Good luck to you and your future records. I know there's going to be more on the way. Kathy Kinane and Kinane Events doing great work as usual. Oceanside Turkey Trot, Thanksgiving morning. So anyway, again, condolences to the Larry Himmel family and his family here at KFMB on his loss.
Everybody head out to Arch San Diego tomorrow on Sunday. It's better than watching the Chargers.
They're off tomorrow. And next Saturday, billionaire Nick Hanauer will be on with us. And he's got plenty to say about minimum wage and all those other good things. So you have a good week, everybody. Stay cool. And we'll see you next time on It's Your Money and Your Life, iWayMoney.com, the award-winning show. Good night now.